Okay, you're listening to the Friday Morning After. I'm Joe Broadhurst, CKUT 90.3 Montreal, and I'm glad to be joined this morning with Mr. Wayne Madsen. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Good.
Yeah? I'm
considering the government here, but other than that, everything's fine.
Well, we're feeling the same kind of watching it from here. We are buried in snow this morning, so I'm glad that we're joined by you. You're going to warm us up with some interesting gossip from, or not gossip, actually reality. So,
right.
I'm joined by Wayne Madsen. He runs the Wayne Madsen Report. It's .com, and it is WayneMadsenReport.com, and it is one of the best sites that we have now for finding out what's really going on. We can't trust our regular media anymore. So let's go through your page and start talking about some of this stuff. And it looks like yesterday you came up with a story speaking about Mr. Bolton.
Yeah.
This guy is crazy.
Well, crazy like a fox. Yeah, obviously, he's not the confirmed U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, and Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice basically was not telling the truth when she said that Mr. Bolton was going to be kept on a short leash. What we've seen out of Mr. Bolton is that he's turned the U.S. mission to the United Nations into a mini Office of Special Plans. This was the group at the Pentagon that housed a number of neoconservatives that, cooked the intelligence that now Bush is blaming the actual intelligence community for in the lead-up to the war in Iraq. So he's basically has created a neocon cell in Midtown Manhattan at the U.S. mission.
And he's been a foot soldier for a long time for these guys, right?
He goes back, yeah, he has a very jaded past. Of course, he was an aide to North Carolina Senator Jesse Helms, the infamous racist from North Carolina. So with that sort of background, it must really be amazing to see Bolton trying to practice diplomacy with people from those various nations that Helms, when he was in the Senate, had such a disdain for.
And the whole goal here they want to get into Syria, right?
Syria and Iran eventually.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, Syria has been put on Mr. Bolton's plate as number one target, but there are other parts of the neoconservative junta in Washington who are concentrating on Iran. Primarily, that's Richard Perle and people like Michael Ledeen, who is a chief foreign policy advisor to Karl Rove.
Now they're really stepping it up. A reporter was murdered just a couple of days ago, and they blame that on Syria too.
Well, that's right. And a series of car bombs against Lebanese anti-Syrian politicians. And they had this UN Detlev Meles, the German, who issued two reports now where he's based his first report on the very dubious claims of somebody who turned out to be a Lebanese version of Ahmad Chalabi. Somebody who had no credibility. This is what Bolton is doing. Obviously, the Meles report was cooked thanks to Bolton. Now Meles is saying that, look, it may be 2 years before we ever find out who killed Hariri, but a Russian and Algerian resolution before the Security Council. Let's look at all these assassinations. The U.S. and Britain didn't want to go there, obviously, because it's going to show that there's a pattern here, and Syria had absolutely nothing to gain by blowing up a series of so-called anti-Syrian politicians. I think that's a misnomer, because Hariri had very good contacts with Syria and also had very good contacts with Hezbollah.
Right. Incredible. So, are they going to be able to get away with it, you think?
Well, they got away with Iraq, and now we see, the Bush administration, of course, is today saying what a great success the elections were, but what we still have in Iraq is a civil war. It looks like maybe some of the insurgents decided to stand down during the elections, because obviously they've got candidates who were running.
Right.
This is what Congressman Murtha is saying here. He says the Bush administration can't figure out the difference between legitimate insurgents, nationalists, and the 7% of these foreign jihadists who have entered Iraq courtesy of our invasion.
Well, just from your coming from you, I mean, do you see an equal thing with Vietnam? Do you see a? I mean,
well,
can you compare? Can you compare it?
Well, as I said before, I said, you know, on a couple other interviews, I said, you know, the main difference between Vietnam and Iraq is Vietnam, which we, you know, defoliated and killed who knows how many people, and we lost 55,000 Americans. One thing about Vietnam, even though they're still suffering from the effects of that war, is their tradition is Buddhist, and they tend to forgive.
Yeah.
In Iraq, we're talking about a country that doesn't forget things that happened 3,000 years ago. And you know, so we have really gotten into a mess with Iraq. I don't think they're going to be quite as forgiving, and I think generations from now, the United States will still be suffering from the effects of Iraqis who remember what happened to their grandparents and great grandparents.
Absolutely. All right, let's turn it over to Cheney, because you've written a lot of stuff about Cheney in the past few days. Tell us about some of the stuff going on in the Philippines. What's going on there?
Well, Cheney, it's interesting. There was an espionage case involving Mr. Cheney's office. A Filipino-American Marine Corps member who worked on the Cheney's staff had actually joined the staff under Al Gore, but under Cheney seemed to have full run of the classified safes in the vice president's office. He got a hold of some classified material that was very damaging to the Philippine president, Gloria Macapagal Arroyo. And as some people may know, she's now survived about three attempted coups. Now, these coups largely were after she found out that a company that was subcontracted to Halliburton was providing Iraq, the U.S. occupation forces in Iraq, with these low-wage, basically slave laborers. She ordered them withdrawn. She ordered them pulled out of Iraq. And after that, we find out that this Philippine agent who was working with another Philippine agent in New York who was in the United States illegally, named Michael Aquino, were funneling this classified information on the Philippine president to her opposition in the Philippines, who were behind these various attempted coups. And there was just one the other day that failed. It's clear that Cheney was allowing this stuff to get out of his office. I mean, here we have a case where the vice president's office, you would think, would be one of the most secure places in the world, but here we have somebody acting like it's a Walmart, and they're going in there and helping themselves to various NSA intercepts of the Philippine president's phone calls.
Maybe he's spending too much time in his undisclosed location.
That's true, and the thing is you know, there have been some other high-level espionage cases here that clearly look like political retaliation, and here we've not heard anything about the Philippine espionage case. That seems to have been conveniently buried. The interesting thing is about Mr. Aquino, one of the two major players in this espionage case was a friend of Jack Abramoff, and that gets into a whole different scandal here in Washington.
Jack Abramoff is just in everything.
He's in everything, yeah. But people should understand that Abramoff goes back a long time with the college Republicans. He was a cohort of people like Karl Rove, the late Lee Atwater, and Ralph Reed, the guy who was the director of the Christian Coalition. These are the people who got their start as college Republicans, and now we've seen where their careers have taken them. They became very powerful, but also became terribly, terribly corrupt.
All right, let's talk a little bit about these. You wrote a little bit about these sort of private prison facilities that are located in undisclosed locations around the world. Maybe that's where Dick Cheney is all the time.
We may have been one of them in Poland conveniently as he was attending the 60th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz.
Does it look like he stopped over there?
I talked to somebody yesterday, and that came from a good White House source, obviously not somebody who's happy with the Bush administration. But yeah, that it just looks like the timeline was that when he spent 3 days in Krakow, his last day in Poland, it looks like there was probably a detour to one of the secret locations, the most secured one, by the way, in northeastern Poland, where he probably only spent an hour at most, but was able to visit it.
Do you think that they were just making plans to move him? Because they were, some people were saying that they were moving these things to North Africa because
of... Well, I think that's what happened after Dana Priest's article in the Washington Post about the eight European Eastern European countries that house these prisons. The word was that they were moved to North Africa. I specifically heard that one of those countries was Morocco.
And tell us a little bit about how Lynn Cheney is connected to all of this. Poland's defense minister?
Right. Well, Radek Sikorski, who's now the defense minister in this new, very conservative Polish government, at the time, it looks like the negotiations were taking place for these prisons in Poland. He was the deputy defense minister of Poland. This was about 2003 time frame. He left that job, and in the interim, he wound up as a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute here in Washington. Now, AEI is one of the bevies of neocons in Washington, and so his colleague there, of course, is Lynn Cheney, who also is a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. This is also AEI is where Richard Perle hangs his hat, and Michael Ledeen, and all the other arch neocons in the country, in the capital, and it's not a stretch to figure out that Mr. Sikorski had something to do with the game plan.
All right, it's just incredible. On December 12th, you reported that the National Intelligence Open Source Center has admitted that they're surfing blogs and that they're monitoring everything. Is that true?
Well, yeah. I mean, this is a new operation run out of John Negroponte's office. This was the big bureaucracy, the Directorate of National Intelligence, that was supposed to streamline intelligence. Yet what we've seen is that it's become the mother of all bureaucracies, to paraphrase Saddam Hussein. The open source intelligence is something that they're doing, and who can blame them? Because they're obviously, with all the phony intelligence now coming out of the CIA and other intelligence agencies, you can't really blame people for wanting to find out what the real intelligence is by just going to the internet, because it's probably not as tainted as what we're getting from the government these days. But this has been followed on by new information that the Pentagon was actively surfing blogs to create an enemies list of people who they suspected were posed a threat because of their anti-war activities. And NBC got a hold of a 400-page database dump of groups and individuals that were being surveilled by the Pentagon.
Now, you run one of the most popular blogs, or not blogs, but one of the more popular internet sites. Are you getting pounded, or are you getting a lot of people? Are you noticing that some interesting agencies are visiting your site?
I do know that the agencies do visit the site, and that's kind of a double-edged sword, because of course the more malign people in some of these agencies, of course, want to know what I'm talking about, trying to figure out who I'm talking to. But on the other hand, there's people who don't like what's going on in this administration who are reading it, and I think in some cases I'm hearing through various channels, circuitous channels, I'm hearing from them, and they're providing very good information and tips.
So good comes with the bad, huh?
Good comes with the bad, but that's, I guess, nature of this business. But the surveillance agenda of the Bush administration just seems to be, actually today in the New York Times, the reporting that the NSA, it's now, they have evidence that the NSA has actually been surveilling American persons after 9/11, which used to take a court order, and now apparently is just done as a matter of routine.
Interesting, yeah. Okay, we don't have much time, so I want to. People don't know a lot about Victor Boo, and I was wondering if you could just enlighten some of our listeners about this. You know, he's a monster, but
yeah, he is.
How does he tie in with? You had a special report on December 11th regarding the financial links between the Christian right and mm-hmm. And all these people. Can you just tell our listeners a little bit about this guy? This is crazy.
Well, anyone who's had the chance to see the movie Lord of War with Nicolas Cage, that character is largely based on Victor Butt or Boot or Bout or, you know, he actually has many different aliases and many different passports. He's a Russian-born military officer who, after the fall of the Soviet Union, basically cashed in. He bought up a large portion of the old Soviet Air Force, especially transport planes, the Ilyushins, the Antonovs, and started running guns to the world's worst killing fields, in Africa especially, but also flew for the Taliban, obviously had been flying weapons and personnel for Al-Qaeda into Afghanistan from Dubai and Sharjah and the Gulf, and now he's flying for the U.S. occupation forces in Iraq. So this guy is a man of all seasons, a man of all wars. He's been cited by the U.N. Security Council as busting sanctions against Charles Taylor in Liberia, busting sanctions in Sierra Leone, which was known, the rebels there, of course, were known for chopping off the hands of five-year-old children. He flew in Angola, Congo, Rwanda, wherever there's been genocide, human rights abuses, you'll find Victor Butt, his fingerprints. But he has very close ties with some of the same regimes that are supported now by the Republican right, the Christian right, very close to the Bush administration. This is obviously why Condoleezza Rice, Sharjah, the Emirate of Sharjah, said, hey, we got Bout right here, right at the airport. You want us to arrest him? Her answer was, look, but don't touch.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So, and he, like you said before, he's very much a part of what's going on in Iraq. He's flying in and out of is he flying in and out of Baghdad, or is
out of Baghdad, out of airports to the north, Mosul, Kirkuk? He's got I don't know how many different airlines registered in various countries. He also takes the same airplane. He'll have the same registration number on three different aircraft to confuse people. But his airlines are registered in places like the Gambia, which is puts him right in league with this guy Richard Hines, who's a big time Republican from South Carolina. He was the guy that was one of the architects of the Dirty Trick campaign against John McCain in 2000 in South Carolina. But anyway, in the Gambia, anyway, a very small country in West Africa, Victor Butt's there, and also this guy Hines is there. Butt has also had dealings with Pat Robertson in Liberia, where Robertson was a business partner of Charles Taylor, the brutal and bloody dictator.
You're not going to read about that on the NBC or CBS. It's just bizarre. He has ties to the Mossad. Is that?
But some of his business partners represent what I call the Russian, Ukrainian, Israeli mafia. Many of these people left either before the collapse of the Soviet Union, when basically the neocons working in Scoop Jackson's office, Senator Scoop Jackson, instituted the Jackson-Vanik Agreement, saying the U.S. was going to impose trade sanctions on the Soviet Union, and they would be pursuant to how many Soviet Jews would be allowed to emigrate to Israel. Now, some people decided, well, we'll just call ourselves Soviet Jews and get out. And they were gangsters. They were Ukrainian gangsters, and some were regular gangsters who happened to be Soviet Jews. But anyway, they got out then, and then after the collapse of the Soviet Union, there was a huge outflow out of the Soviet Union into Israel. All these people carry Israeli passports, and many of them, of course, are involved in diamond smuggling, blood diamond smuggling, weapon smuggling, drugs, especially ecstasy, and other things, and basically Israel is now overrun with this criminal element, and many of them can be found right in the Likud government.
Interesting. Okay. What's the scoop on Karl Rove? Vivica Novak, she's going to testify?
The word is we don't know. The grand jury, there's a new grand jury meeting, has been for about a month. Fitzgerald deposed Vivica Novak at her lawyer's office. Certainly she's no friend of this administration, even though she's been suspended by time. It looks like Robert Luskin, Roe's attorney, was spinning her, and she knows it. And basically, she said nothing to let Roe off the hook. The word is here, and it may be wishful thinking. It may be that people are hoping for an early Christmas present, but the word is that Fitzgerald will indict Roe on at least one count of obstruction of justice.
Yeah. Okay. Is that coming soon?
We heard in terms of days. Now that was 2 days ago, and so we're holding our breath. But apparently, Fitzgerald now has enough information. Even though Luskin tried this thing with Vivica Novak, which did nothing to help Roe's case, actually helped to sink him. There was also testimony by Roe's former secretary, Susan Ralston, who basically, I understand, said that Roe ordered her to leave one phone call, that phone call to Matt Cooper of Time Magazine, off the log. So that would be absolute obstruction of justice.
And he would have to step down, is that right? Is that right?
Well, we don't know. Bush actually endorsed him once again the other day after Bush said that he thought Tom DeLay was innocent of money laundering. He also said he's never been closer to Karl Rove. Well, let's hope if Rove is indicted and goes to jail, that Mr. Bush will still be close to him and maybe be in the same
very
cell.
Close to him, right next door, right?
Right next to him, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for joining me this morning. I've been joined by Wayne Madsen of the Wayne Madsen Report. That's WayneMadsen Report.com. It's one of the most popular internet sites, and you do a wonderful job, and thank you for doing it.
Oh, thanks, and good to be with you.
All right. Have a good morning.
You too.